Continue, Father, to fill us with your Spirit. Press our hearts firmly towards your word. Tear down the reluctance, the resistance, the rebellion that still lingers in many of our hearts, that we might truly hear from you and glorify your Son. We thank you for this inspired word that we have that is without error and fully authoritative for our lives. We thank you for the incarnate word who is alive and seated at the right hand of God, praying for us and reigning as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we look forward to that day when all nations will bow before him and proclaim him as King. Until then, we continue to do that by the help of your Spirit. For you are our Lord and our Savior, and apart from you, there is no one else. Where can we go to find words of life? We thank you, Father, for the gift of the Bible. May it continue to be precious in the heart of your people. Amen. A couple of the small group Bible studies this fall are engaging in discussion about the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the Philippians. I said to a Bible study leader last week that I really love that book. I spent for its simplicity, for the reality that it brings alive Christ and his church, which part of that is our theme this year as we focus on the church of Jesus Christ. I also said that one time when I studied that book myself, I noticed that many of the verses that we hold to be dear and precious are found in the book of Philippians. Many of them are. For instance, if I were to start you off saying this, I am confident that he who began a good work will complete it. Or, rejoice in the Lord. Or, for me to live is, and to die is, and do not be anxious for, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your... See, you just affirm what I said. I continually amaze myself at how bright I am. Including, I can do all things through... Yeah, awesome. You see, and that's only a sampling of the book of Philippians. But the verse that I want you to consider with me this morning as we prepare for the Lord's table is in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians in verse number 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. Again, you could say this by memory. This is not a strange passage to you. Philippians 4, verse 19. You might find it somewhat amazing that your pastor is preaching on one verse this morning, but we will find lots of richness here. Verse 19 reads, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Would you not agree that that is an amazingly encouraging verse? Would you not agree with that? Like, the verse is so encouraging because it's so definite. Paul writes, "My God will." Like, there's no ambiguity there. There's nothing maybes about this. It's so definite. My God will. It's also all-encompassing. Did you notice that? Not only will my God will, he will supply every need. There's not a need he won't supply. It covers every need. It's an amazing verse. It's pregnant with optimism and hope and encouragement. It's so personal, though. Of yours. Sometimes we think that God is ministering and meeting the needs of other people, and we forget that it's personal too. He's doing that personally. This is a personal affirmation and encouragement of the apostle to the early readers and to us this morning by the Holy Spirit. My God will every need of yours. And notice that the need is going to be met according to His riches in glory. Paul could have said, God will meet every need of yours according to your need. That means if you need 10 bucks, God will give you 10 bucks. If you need 20 bucks, God will give you 20 bucks. That's according to your need. But He doesn't meet our needs according to our needs. He meets our needs according to His riches. That means that if I have a need of 10 bucks, if God's going to meet my need according to His riches, exponentially, we're talking about He's going to give me a bajillion dollars for my $10 need. Because His riches are infinite and unfathomable. Great encouragement verse. And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Who wouldn't find this verse absolutely assuring this morning? Who wouldn't find it absolutely encouraging? We might find ourselves at some moment, some anxious moment, as we come out of the doctor's office with a prognosis that might be worrisome. And coming to our mind is, my God will supply every need. We might find ourselves hit with a financial pressure that we didn't anticipate. We might find ourselves hit with something that was totally unexpected, and we are totally incapable of meeting that financial need, and that comes to our mind, my God will supply every need. We might find ourselves, as some have found in this day, where the bills are going up, but the amount of work available is going down. And someone might say, well, my God will supply every need. We could say that. Or can we? Are we permitted to take this verse out of the letter that Paul wrote and apply it to our health, our finances, our work? Are we permitted to do that? Let's look a little more closely. You will see in your Bible, and I'd ask you to look there, and I have every confidence that we're all going to see the same thing. Because I've checked out every English translation that I could. That this verse starts with a three-letter word, and. Now, I hate to bore you with English class, but some of you will recall that and is a conjunction. It joins two sentences or two clauses together. That means it's a violation of this text to take this verse out and hold it alone. Because it starts with the word and. If you were in school, and some of you are in school, and your teacher asks you to write an essay on what you did this summer, and your essay comprised of this sentence, and I went fishing, they would say, incomplete work, F, for failure, not fishing. And is a conjunction. That means that Paul has got one thought and he's putting together another thought. And if we're going to understand Philippians 4:19, we have to know what goes before it. You see, Paul started as the church planter, the work in Philippi. This church proved to be committed to Paul's ministry. In the first chapter of the book of Philippians, he calls them partners in the gospel. Even though he started the work and moved on to other things, this church was a church that was committed to the ministry that God had called the apostle to, and they supported him. They supported him generously. This was a very generous church. In fact, when Paul was in Thessalonica, in another church, this church supported him while he was in Thessalonica. Isn't that amazing? It almost seems like they had a kingdom mentality. I'm being facetious. Philippi was a generous church. They were a committed church. But it seems as we read the first few chapters in the book of Philippians, Paul has a need. We don't know what the need is, but we know that he has a need. He also knows that that church in Philippi, by the way, he's writing from Rome. He's under house arrest. And he has a need. And he knows that this church in Philippi wanted to help his in his need. But for some reason, and we're not told why, they couldn't do it when their heart wanted to do it. We don't know what the need is, but Paul reminded them, in fact, in this chapter, that that need did not concern him. For in fact, he says that representing that need, he's learned to be content, whether he had a need or whether he had lots. So he kind of relieved the conscience of the Philippi church. He relieved the conscience. He says, okay, I'm content whether I have little or whether I have a lot. But the good news is that this church finally was able to meet Paul's need. Probably a financial need. More than likely a financial need. And so they sent a member of their congregation to Rome to give Paul the gift that they had for him. The man's name was Epaphroditus, and he carried the gift from the church at Philippi to Rome to give to Paul. And we pick up the story in verse 14 of chapter 4. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Paul couldn't repay these folks. He couldn't repay them for their generosity, but Paul knew that his God would. Paul knew that his God would repay this church for their generosity to him, even if he couldn't. The point that Paul is making is that those who are generous toward God will find that God is generous towards them. That's the point. Paul says specifically to the Philippian congregation that God will meet their needs because they've met his need. And that's the context. The Expositor's Bible commentary says this, and I share it with you. This assurance of the divine supply of the Philippians' need implies that they had given so liberally that they had actually left themselves in some real need. Think about that. They had given to Paul so generously, so liberally, that they ended up with a need. And Paul says, my God will supply that need according to his riches in glory. We're not permitted to take this and use it in a manner that the Holy Spirit never intended. We're not to take this verse and use it in a way that Paul never had any idea in his mind it should be used. He's simply saying to this church, and he's saying to us as believers who are generous to others, don't worry about your generosity. As you are generous to others, God will meet your need. That doesn't stand alone in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25 says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters himself will be watered. Likewise in Proverbs 19:17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Now lest you get concerned, please understand that our Heavenly Father will look after us. We can go to passages like Matthew chapter 6 where we're called to consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and we're reminded that are we not more valuable than they are? Will He not provide for us? But beloved, Philippians 4:19 is not saying that. It's far more pointed. It's far more specific. It's far more direct. It's saying that as the people of God give generously and liberally to those, even if as a result they are left in need, God will supply their need. If I'm stingy, if I'm self-centered, I can claim no assurance from this verse. It's only that we as a church and we as the people of God who are generous can say, and God, my God, will supply our need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. There's another thing here that I want you to notice before I end this message. Paul says that this God will meet the need of the generous, open-handed, loving Christian as they meet the needs of others. He will not only meet that need in accordance with His riches and glory, but He does it in Christ Jesus. That phrase, in Christ Jesus, is a bomb. It is huge. Three little words, but this is amazing. One of the great commentators that I often go to, a man by the name of Albert Barnes, says this: all the favors that Paul expected for himself or his fellow man he believed would be conferred through the Redeemer, even the supply of our temporal needs, comes to us through the Savior. Now listen to this. Were it not for the atonement, there is no more reason to suppose that blessings would be conferred upon people than they would be upon fallen angels. That's powerfully poetic. You see, some of you who have the old translations, the King James Version or the New King James Version, those translators rendered this verse this way, that God would supply all their needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The little word, that dia, that forms in or by or through, is a word that can be translated various ways. Now let me just do a quick argument. If Paul was talking about that God would meet their needs because they're related to Jesus in Christ, he would have put that earlier in the sentence. Okay? He would have put that earlier in the sentence. But this in Christ Jesus defines and modifies the glory of riches. The riches have come to them through Jesus Christ. And we understand that to mean that they came to them through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He paid by His life on Calvary's cross the price so that they could benefit from His blessings. All the blessings that came to them came via the cross. Maybe you're wondering why I get so impressed by this. So I tried to make up a little parable. Listen to this little parable. See if you can track with me. Imagine you're aboard a humanitarian ship bringing food and water to starving people who are isolated by war. That's probably not a hard picture for us to understand. You're on a big ship. Your job is to take food and clothing and water to people who have been isolated and suffering because of war. As your vessel moves from one port to another, you finally realize as you approach the next port that you have no food left. You've given it all away. But soon you see another ship arriving in the distance. And as it comes closer, you learn that aboard that ship are all the provisions you need to continue on your mission. You're very thankful, aren't you? But then you hear the rest of the story, as the saying goes. As that ship draws close and as you comes close by so that the product can be transferred from that ship to your ship, you realize that that ship has just gone through a horrible sea battle. And you realize that hundreds of sailors lost their lives so that that ship could get to your ship. Now what do you think of the provisions as they're handed over to you? Now what do you think of the containers of water that people died so that you could get? Now what do you think of the provisions of food? I mean, thankfulness doesn't even come close to describing how we should feel. Philippians 4:19 is a promise to the church that as we are generous and kind to others, God will resupply us with the needs that we have. And we must remember that that resupply comes through the cross. That resupply comes through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whether it be a few dollars or whether it be food, whether it be water, whatever kindness that we receive to give to others comes via the cross. And therefore we take no pride in our giving. Therefore we take absolutely no sense of self-happiness, self-joy from our giving. Because we realize that even the things that we've been given to give to others came through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died that He might make provision so that we can make provision for others. So beloved, as you, as God's people, seek to serve Him in your everyday lives, as you seek to be generous, even to the point where some of us are generous, leaving ourselves in need, you can say with absolute integrity and confidence on a verse rightly interpreted, "And my God shall supply every need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Let us pray. My thanksgiving, Father, this morning before this church is to acknowledge again what a privilege and a blessing it is to pastor a church that is generous, pastor a church that is kind and giving. But we take no pride in that this morning, Father, because we realize that even our ability to help others comes via Calvary's cross. Even our ability to meet the needs of others comes through Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary. This verse, Father, helps us to be motivated to increase giving. For indeed we realize that we can never outgive You. That as we share in the generous spirit towards others who are in need, You will also meet our needs. So Father, I pray that all that we have done in this last year, which is small compared to Your infinite treasures, we will be reminded that we can continue to give with generosity, even in these days when people are concerned about the economy. We can still continue to give with thankfulness, because You will never leave Your people without provision who have a heart to give. Thank You for this example in the book of Philippians. Thank You for the humility and the grace of Paul that we would want for ourselves. But we thank You most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross so that we might have eternal life and all the provisions to do Your will here on earth. And so with Paul we say, Father, that as we give, as we contribute, as we share, as we are compassionate and kind to others, we are confident that our God will supply our needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, for we pray this in His name. Amen.